Welcome to our next section on how to study the Bible. A famous baseball player named Yogi Berra, he played for the Yankees and coached for years and for the Mets for a little while as well. And he once said, you can see a lot just by looking. And so we're going to take his advice today and take a look at some things that we might tend to just gloss right over as we read the Bible. So in our time of Bible study, it's important for us to take the time to look at the details, look at the words, look at the context, and today we're just going to have some helpful hints along those lines. So first of all, when we're reading, we want to know what each word means. Meaning of words is vital in our interpretation of the scriptures. So as we're reading in our English Bible, we may think we know what all of the words in a particular verse means, and maybe we do, but it's good to know what the underlying word is, the Greek or the Hebrew word that underlies that English translation, because often, while it might be an accurate translation, the Greek word or the Hebrew word might offer us a little difference in shade of meaning, a little different nuance that might shed some light on the interpretation of the passage. So it's always good to look up all the words that in a verse when we're studying. And don't be lazy. Don't assume that you know what it means. Look it up, and it will be very helpful. And that's the best way to start your study of any passage. There are also words that we should keep an eye open for. There are lots of different sort of little red flag words that pop up. There are terms that speak about a conclusion. An argument has been made in a context, and there are words that hint that the author is wrapping up his argument and he's making a conclusion. And words like therefore. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And in the first two chapters of Romans, Paul had been describing why the Gentiles are condemned. And then in chapter 2, he explains that, yes, even the religious man is condemned. And he says, therefore. And so it's always good for us to stop and pause and just consider why does that word therefore appear? And it will help us in our interpretation of the passage. Another word that sometimes is used as a conclusion is the word so. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also the rich man shall fade in his ways. And so there, that little word so indicates to us that in the same way that the sun comes up and withers the grass, and the flower fades, so too the rich man is going to fade in his way. Just that little word helps us to put it all that sentence all together. You might also see the word so then. In Revelation chapter 3, John said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, and there's that little expression, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So here he has made an argument against the Laodiceans. They were lukewarm, and so then, because of that, God will spew them out of his mouth. So that kind of sums up his argument. As a result of his description of the Laodiceans, so then God is going to reject them. And the word because, that's also a helpful term in an argument. For example, in Revelation 3 and verse 16, the very next verse after what we just looked at. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest I am rich. And so it's because of that that they would be spewed out of his mouth. So then, an argument is being summed up, and because of that, judgment is coming. Because thou sayest, excuse me, phone call. Another little expression to look for is, for this cause. In Titus chapter 1, Paul said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city. So here Paul draws a conclusion and he says, for this cause I left you in Crete. And he sums it up, that you should set things in order and ordain elders. And then another term, an obvious term that something is concluded, the word finally. In 1 Peter 3:8, Paul says, finally, be ye all of one mind, have compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now we had been talking about husband-wife relationships in that setting. And now he says, finally, and he gives some advice in that particular setting. So those are some terms of conclusion that might be helpful to keep our eyes open for. There are also terms of contrast. The word but is a great word of contrast. A, but B. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:23 about the Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he didn't do that, but here's what he did do. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So that but contrasts the things that Christ did not do with what he did do when he was suffering. Another term in as found in 2 Peter is nevertheless, where Peter's describing the heavens are on fire and they're going to be dissolved and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, in spite of that, Peter says, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. So here's another word of contrast, this nevertheless. And also the word yet. Peter also in 1 Peter chapter 4 said, let none of you suffer as a murderer, yet if a man suffer as a Christian. So here's the contrast, suffering as a murderer versus suffering as a Christian. And that's separated by the word yet. So that's a good marker. When you see these terms, make sure that you understand what's being contrasted. And then we have terms that speak of time. For example, at that time. That tells us that something is happening at a particular time, and the time is important. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, before you were saved, at that time, you were without Christ. So he's describing their condition at that time before salvation. Then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So we want to look for these words that speak about time. But now in Christ Jesus, at that time you were unsaved, but now in Christ Jesus, things are different. And then the word soon in Galatians chapter 1. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him who hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul marveled at how quickly, how soon the Galatians departed from their understanding of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. And then you might see another time word, until. Paul says to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. So the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit is not forever. It begins when we're saved, but it's until the redemption of our purchased possession. In other words, when we are raised from the dead or we go with the Lord in the rapture and have new bodies, the sealing ministry, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, ceases. We won't need to be indwelt by the Spirit in heaven. So these are just a few of the different kinds of terms. We'll look at some other ones a little later. But just keep your eyes open. And if you do, if you're looking for these things in the scriptures, like Yogi Berra said, it's amazing what you can see just by looking.